He brings the passion.
For what? I want to know now. I'm mentally invested. Don't tell me to pray and you don't say what for.
He brings the perspective.
Yeah, I think they both have a great point.
Get off me, text line.
He's truly one of a kind.
That is whack.
Oh, my God. Oh.
And he's doing a great job.
Okay. I need you to man up and say what you really want to say.
Simon, you're doing a great job.
And together, they are Stymie and Guru.
Yeah.
On 95.7 The Game.
All righty. JD in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. Let me tell you what I'm going to do first. By the way, today is going to be a barrel of monkeys, let me tell you. It's going to be a lot of fun. Let me offer a PSA first. And this is courtesy of my partner, John Dickinson.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
This is a good one.
I think it's a good one.
One of the JD rules of life.
One of JD's tenets. He thinks that the day before, or the working day before a holiday...
Or before you're taking a vacation.
Or before you're taking a vacation.
Getting a little break. Going on a trip, maybe. Doing something fun that you're really looking forward to.
That, on those days in particular, you got to be careful.
Yeah.
You got to be real careful.
You better be careful.
How come?
Because you're so manically high and excited that your emotions run high and you make yourself more susceptible to getting into it with somebody.
Interesting.
Like, you just, like, because everybody's kind of looking ahead at the fun and leaving some of the junk from the office behind, and you just kind of, you think you've made it already,
right?
And you really haven't. You got to finish the deal. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've seen a couple of people get into it, or somebody just go on a flame out rant that you've never seen before. And it's always these days right before action.
Interesting.
So I just you know, you got to be careful. Like, everybody's feeling great today, and you should be.
No doubt. No doubt.
But you got to finish the deal. You got to get out of the building.
Now, no doubt. And, you know, that's a great piece of advice to the youngsters out there, who, but, you know, the late 20, 30-year-olds, because tonight's a big night for
it
them.
It is a big night.
It's probably the biggest night of the year.
It is. It's a night that I've unfortunately had to miss a few times because, well, hey, Warriors live at 6 o'clock.
Yeah. I miss them now because I'm old. But Evan, our producer's in that age bracket. Big night tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you have plans right now or you just know you're going out?
Well, I got to be here until 6 a little bit later tonight.
Okay.
But then afterwards, fam's in town, so I'll hang out with them, have dinner, and then your boy will be at Kezar Pub.
All right.
Yeah, this is a night where, like, a lot of people, everybody goes their separate ways throughout life, but then you're back in town.
Yeah. It's the night to reconnect with that high school flame. That's the bottom line. I mean, for those... Look, I'm not going back to my hometown, so I won't be able to get to see, you know... Nori Frank or Beth Plasher or Maria Gabrielli.
Wow.
I wouldn't be surprised if they look at me and say, boy, that's the one that got away, Steiny. Probably not.
Oh, boy.
Aaron Judge in the Bay Area talking to the Giants, and he did that yesterday. We're going to talk about that a little bit. John Morosi was on... our station, 95.7 The Game, talking about the timing. He thinks something may come down in 2 weeks or less. Going to talk some Golden State Warriors and kind of revisit something Bob Myers said yesterday. If you think Draymond Green might not be part of the Warriors' future, you might want to think about that again. I know I'm starting to think about that again. And then I want to get into what Robert Saleh is doing in New York with the Jets and Zach Wilson. You want to talk about a gutsy move. Zach Wilson being benched, even though he's gone 5-2. The team's 5-2 with him at quarterback. So we got a great show. We got Cam Inman coming up at 1 o'clock. On the other side, how badly do the Giants need a big signing? Aaron Judge in town. Hey, it's all sponsored by the Department of Healthcare Services.
Ah!
I'd be a great cop.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, John Dickinson in for Daryl the Guru Johnson, and
I'm excited.
Yeah, you know what, JD? It's one of those things that you hear, and then you think about it, you process it a little, and then it's a day later, and you start thinking, man, that would be unbelievable. So Aaron Judge is in the Bay meeting with the San Francisco Giants. He did that yesterday. And you start to think about, could they really get him? And to me, JD, the Giants, of course, have struck out with the big-name free agents lately.
Oh, for the last 15 years
okay,
or so.
But give me this. This one seems a little more tangible than either Stanton or Harper. Can you give me that? Can you meet me halfway, as Guru would say?
It does seem more plausible. I've said, just in my watching of the Yankees throughout the year, that I think something's going on there to where he's not as much of a lock to remain with the Yankees as it may think a player that has done as much for the Yankees and had as much success collectively as a team
right.
like would be. So I just think, to me, there's something where he's ticked off they didn't pay him before the season. They went to that arbitration hearing where it got right up until the hearing before they figured out the year. It was almost as if, oh, you're going to make me go out and be a record-breaking type of a player. Well, I'll break the American League record in home runs. And kind of, there's just a little bit of just some contentiousness between he and the organization. It doesn't mean he doesn't ultimately go back, but I think there's more of a window for him to leave the Yankees. And then it's, well, if he's going to leave the Yankees, where would he go?
Right.
And there's this underlying, well, he's a Giants fan, and he watches Giants games even after the Yankees games are over on the East Coast, and there's just an affinity for, you know, being from California and liking the Giants, that maybe he believes a little bit more in their special sauce or their vibe than another free agent would.
I hear you. And maybe that, at the end of the day, will be the thing that pushes him over the top.
Well, that and $400 million.
No doubt. But you know what? How about this for an unbelievable generalization? But my experience in sports is that whole hometown thing, for the most part, it's not tangible. And it doesn't really come to fruition. You know what I mean? Like, yes, there's going to be players who, quote-unquote, go home. But, you know, I always remember, JD, just hearing a story about Gary Payton. He didn't want to play here in Oakland at the time, which is where he was from, because he just had a ton going on here, and he just felt like it was better for his career to not be in this area. I don't know what Aaron Judge is like, but there's no doubt that the Giants have been pretty public with their pursuit of a big-name free agent, and obviously he's the biggest name. If they don't get him, if they don't get Judge in the next 2 or 3 weeks, I think there's going to be collective disappointment among Giants fans.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, and like, you know me, Joe, JD, I'm not a huge fan or a huge contradictor. But I do think Farhan has showed in 3 or 4 years that he can put a team together. I mean, he can put a team together. All right, 1-1-107 this year, they stunk, and they won 81 games, you could say.
Sure.
So, like, I have no doubt he's going to be able to put together a competitive team. But I think if they don't get, let's say they don't get Judge, who's the number one free agent, but they get 6-11, that's not a failure to me.
Well, it wouldn't be in a sense, but I think there's more of a mandate to not just be good, but to be good and be a little flashier. To be good and have more star power. Like, I think being good is something that, if it's not done with a big-name player, almost nobody's really going to care until June or July. And in essence, the Giants don't want to wait. And like, they want people caring.
I think that's
November 22nd, December 3rd, January 5th. Like, they want people caring for the next 6 months.
As exactly.
This thing, not just, oh, well, maybe this team, is this team good? Are they not? Oh, they have 40 and 30 in June. Oh, maybe they're good with a bunch of no-name players.
And that's why
they want the hype of they want the star power of believe in the team's going to be, even if maybe they aren't as good, I think they'd rather have that next 4, 5, 6 months of cachet built up with people excited that they might be good.
There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. And I think you hit the nail right on the head. And I also think, and you brought this up before the show, and it doesn't have to be anything huge, but you know what? Farhan probably doesn't want to sign Aaron Judge. It's kind of not his MO. But I think but you're right. It's above him, and they want to do it. And I agree. I don't think he's got a choice in the matter. I don't think he had a choice in the Harper wooing.
He's in a unique position, I think, because if you know Farhan Zaidi and just his baseball sensibilities, between signing a player at Judge's age to potentially a 10-year contract, you know, 10-year, $350 million contract or something like that, I think it would be, like, if the boss brings him in, if ownership brings Farhan in, Farhan can say, what do you think of this? Like, we want to go get Aaron Judge. And he, right. Like, my bet would be that he says, guys, I just from a baseball standpoint, I wouldn't do it. Like, I get you want butts in the seats.
Right.
I get you want excitement. But from a baseball standpoint, it does not make sense to pay him 10 years and $350 million. Just hypothetically, for a guy who's 31 years old. It just doesn't. Like, but at the same time, you've got the ownership saying, well, we want to do it. So
right.
It creates this odd scenario where does he say, now being a little bit, because I think I think patience is starting to wear thin on Farhan from outside, right?
Okay, but that's crazy. But go ahead.
Well, but what I'm saying is, like, Farhan can't. I think Farhan knows he's got to have a good team next year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he cares as much about the star power component to it, but I think the management or the ownership is saying, we got to do something flashy, we got to do something sexy. So he's thinking, well, what they want me to do is against what I want to do. Do I do it anyway? And
well,
if I do
to.
It anyway, am I going to be held accountable if it doesn't work, when it's not something that I would necessarily want to do?
I hear all those things. But
he doesn't have a choice, because
he doesn't have a choice.
In a sense, he can't. He can't win boring anymore. Like, that's the thing.
Well,
I feel like the Giants don't want to. It's not just they want to win. They don't want to win boring.
That's right.
I think that's a thing now.
But that's still worse than losing. And Farhan, you're right. He doesn't have a choice on Judge. Here's what Farhan's probably doing. All right, let me know if we get him, because that's going to impact every single thing I do from this point on. And in fact, the fact that we're going after him like this is slowing me down with other moves that I really think would be productive and maybe a little less high maintenance. So I'm with you there. Where I'm also with you is, yeah, I believe the Giants management wants to create a buzz going into the season to sell tickets. But here's what else I know. And this is where I think, like, I try to look at the big picture. I think it's very possible that they could not have a great offseason, okay? And so there's either not a big buzz about the Giants, or it's mostly negative. But you know what? What happens is what happens, and 2-3 months into the year, you're like, they're pretty good. They're pretty good. And that's where, if you're the San Francisco Giants, you will start drawing at that point. You will start drawing. The reason this team didn't draw last year was because they stunk. I know they ended up 81-81, but it was like a team that won 16 of 20 to, it meant nothing.
But it's not. But they didn't stink the whole year.
Right, exactly.
They were 40-30 or something like that. Maybe it was 35-25. They were about 10-11 games over 500 right around Father's Day. It was right around when the Warriors won the title.
But for fans, it always takes longer than you think it's.
But that's coming off of 107 wins.
Right.
So you would think that excitement would be high coming off 107 wins, and then it looks in June like, oh, the team's not that bad. And then it cratered
right.
in the middle of
the season. The season starts in April. I mean, I'm talking basically, you know, by July 1st, you got to be hanging around.
Well, but
and be pretty good.
And that was right when they dipped.
Okay,
like they basically dipped. They dipped Father's Day.
Okay,
they looked like they were on pace to win. I don't know, low 90s up until Father's Day, and then they stunk for like 2 months. And then you're right, they played better at the end when it didn't really matter.
Farhan Zaidi, if he comes, like I said, if he they don't get judged, but he comes out with the 6th best free agent and the 11th best free agent, that's not a failure.
That's not good enough.
But it's not a failure.
It's not a failure because it, but it's a.
So what do you, okay, they don't, okay, but you're not saying if they don't get judged, it's a failure.
I'm not.
Okay, what do they have to do if they don't get judged to not be a failure?
I think they do in the fans' eyes have to get name talent. They have to go get Trey Turner.
Okay, so there
they
are
have to go
what
get
are the other
Correa.
Names?
They have to go
okay.
get Justin Verlander or Jacob deGrom.
Okay.
Or like they have to go they got to add I think probably 3 big names. Like it doesn't mean that all these guys are $35-40 million a year players necessarily. They're not $300 million players. Judge is. Or Turner might be 250 or whatever, but what I'm getting at is it's not enough to build it like the A's or the Rays. I think that's what I think the Giants miscalculated their fan base in the sense that they thought building a winner would be enough. Building a team that wins, even if they are built like the Rays or built like the A's, where it's just a bunch of, it's a hodgepodge of guys, and maybe they're older guys that were still around or whatever, that would be enough to generate excitement, fill the ballpark,
well,
get people excited like it's 2012. And I think they've realized that doesn't work.
Well, doesn't it? Have they put a consistent playoff team out there since 14?
No, they've been a playoff team, what, twice?
Right. So they've
separated. Yeah.
16, they played the Cubs. They lost to the Cubs. Then they had the drought, and then there was the 107 win team. So I actually disagree with you there, JD. I think if the Giants next year go 90-72 and they make the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
and they win a round and lose a round or something like that, then they come back the next year and they win 92 games, and they're same thing, maybe. They get to the NL.
Yep.
My point is, at that point, they'll be back to the hottest ticket in town, even if they don't have Aaron Judge.
I don't think,
or Trey Turner.
And that's where I think there's been a shift.
Really?
I don't.
So has that happened recently?
I don't think they.
You think?
I think it's happened over the last couple of years. I think they thought that it would get. I think they thought doing it the way they did in 21 would work, and I think what they found is it didn't work. Because the excitement wasn't there at the level that they wanted it to
be. For 107
win team. Going into last year and then coming out of last year. Like, it didn't resonate. Like, it's always about the next year. You have the big year, and then it's...
So you're saying that it wasn't so much they were bad last year, it was that the 107 win team didn't resonate with the Bay.
It didn't resonate, and it also wasn't sustainably good. Like,
well, that I get. It was a one-off, but all I'm saying is, if they put together,
I don't think Farhan's going to get that much time.
Well, I hear you there, but I'm just trying to think
without
of a franchise.
A like if they don't sign a star, it's harder for him to be successful. Like it's in a way, it's almost as if the Giants would rather sign Aaron Judge. And be an 81 win team with Aaron Judge, than not sign Aaron Judge and be a 91 win team without him.
You know what?
Because everybody's gonna be pissed off for the next 5 months that you didn't get him or a star.
I think there's something to that, absolutely, but I think it's a little short-sighted. I think when seasons start, the slate's wiped clean, and if they're good, they're good. And I think in the Bay, were the 10, 12, and 14 teams exciting? No. They were pitching in defense for the most part.
Yeah, but they had...
I guess they got homegrown.
Homegrown. But also, Buster Posey was a star. Like, he was a boring star, but he was a star.
Okay.
Like, Tim Lincecum was a superstar for his short period of time. Like, he was, like, he was an event. Like, and yeah, they didn't sign him, but Tim Lincecum was, like, Tim Lincecum was kind of like, he was a Steph Curry. Like, you wanted to watch him pitch. You wanted to watch him play. What were you going to see? What was he going to do that blew you away on that? So, I get what you're saying. It's kind of revisionist history in a way to go back and say, well, those teams are boring. Well, yeah, like, they really weren't.
Well, they were,
like, was Bumgarner boring?
Yes, he was. But their personalities became the story. That's what I'm saying. I mean, Tim Lincecum and Bumgarner to me are not the same.
No, they're not. But I think they're different versions of star.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like,
but what I'm saying is the reason you think Bumgarner resonate, yeah, you know why? Because everybody, oh, look at this guy with a snot rocket. Yeah, he's a good pitcher. You're winning World Series. Pitcher's a bad one to use because he was a strikeout guy. But Brandon Crawford. Okay, Brandon Crawford. He's very good shortstop. Okay? But why do you like him? Well, he's homegrown. He's got the long hair. He's got the cool long hair.
Sure.
Like Pagan. Like all those guys, they win, and then more connects them to the fan, which is their personalities and stuff. And so, yeah, you may watch the Giants and think, oh, man, they're exciting when Pagan doubles. Do you see him give that salute? It's like, hit the pike. You know, that's not... Like, yes, that's why the Giants were so popular, but that doesn't make them exciting to...
Well, it made them exciting to their fan base.
Well,
and again, it started with Lincecum.
But that's Lincecum more personality-driven.
Because they thought Lincecum... Well, I think it's also talent-driven. Like, again, like Buster Posey was a phenom coming up. And again, he's a boring personality. But Buster Posey was an immediate Rookie of the Year. He was an immediate champion... You know, 5 months after he got called up to the big leagues for the last time. I know he got a little bit at the end of 2009, a couple at bats, I think 8 at bats or something like that. But he comes up at the end of May in 2010 and he wins a Rookie of the Year. He helps him win a World Series. He goes on to be an MVP in 2012 when they win another World Series. Like Buster Posey was Steph Curry for the Bay before Steph Curry was Steph Curry. Now Curry's taken it to another level. But it was the same kind of thing. And Lincecum, same kind of thing.
Yes.
Shorter term.
You're absolutely right. Here's what I'm saying. They want Judge to be that.
Because they can't. But, they haven't homegrown anybody
but
like
but
that.
But whatever. That's what they want out of Judge. They don't get Judge. Give me the 7th and 12th best free agent.
Yeah.
I don't mean to put you on the spot, and I don't even need a name, but if they get the 7th and 12th best free agent,
okay,
go ahead.
I happen to have a list.
Okay.
Okay, and I'm going to have to adjust the
list. Pick two positions they need.
I have a list of top 20 free agents from a couple of weeks ago. 7 on this list is Dansby Swanson from the Braves.
Okay. So you get him.
Okay.
And who's 12? Make sure he fits a position.
Yeah, 12 is, I got to move off a 12 and 13 because Tyler Anderson's already signed, and the Giants already had Tyler Anderson, and Clayton Kershaw was the other one. He's already signed.
Okay.
Right? He's signed, right? Maybe not.
1 year deal, I think, LA.
Yeah. So the next player on that list is like Jose Abreu.
Okay. We don't know a lot about those two guys, right?
Well, I mean,
would that be a failure? Disappointing?
Jose Abreu won the MVP 2 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, so but here's all I'm saying. Even though those
you get
guys,
Dansby Swanson, Jose Abreu, and I'm trying to find a pitcher, but
what I'm getting at is those guys, if they perform and start winning, then whatever their personality traits are, the fans connect to make them want to come to more games. It's not like, oh, we need a gimmick. And I think some Giant fans think I'm saying we need a gimmick. No, the way We love Steph Curry, not because he's great, but because we've gotten to know him for 14 years.
I don't know that Dansby Swanson's a big enough name.
Okay.
I know he was the first pick in the draft but
here's what I'm saying. You have disappointment leading into the season. You get three free agents in the top 20, 8, 12, and 16. You get head into the season with not a lot of expectations. Abreu starts hitting. They start winning. Now Abreu hits a home run and touches home and does a cartwheel. And now everybody's doing cartwheels. And who's that guy who's playing for the Giants? He's pretty good. They just got him. Like, that's kind of how it works. So what I'm saying is, yeah, they want Judge to create preseason and before season hype, but they'll still have a chance 2-3 months into the season. But they got to win.
They got to win, but I think the benefit of the doubt is less the farther down on the list you go.
One more time.
The benefit of the doubt is less the farther down on the list you go. Like, you're not getting...
Okay, but it doesn't matter once the season starts.
But what I'm saying is a lot of Giants fans are not waiting around to see if this team's good until June. And the Giants, as an organization, don't want to be in that position to have people, well, we'll wait around, we'll see if this team's any good. They want somebody that is appointment now. Like, I think that's where there's been a shift. And I think there's even a chasm between the ownership, potentially, and Farhan on that.
Let me try to mix sports. So if the... Let's say the Giants this year are kind of like the Utah Jazz. Some no names, but God, they're pretty good. They play hard. Let's say the Jazz continues to kind of play at this level. Unexpected, a bunch of no names, guy here and there, kind of, you know, and they start to win. You don't think the Bay Area would start to embrace a team like that?
I think... It's a tricky situation.
That's what makes it so interesting.
It's tricky. I think the Giants have been so stale for so long that they're not getting the benefit of the doubt. I think, you know, the Warriors is an example.
Right.
Like, I think Warrior fans would not necessarily embrace that average team the way that they would have before they've had all the success that they've had in the way that they've had it.
But you're not allowing for the Giants to be good next year.
No, I am. But what I'm saying is you can't just... I think for a lot of people, and I'm not even putting myself into the category, but I think a lot of people, I think a lot of Giants fans need them to be good, but also need them to have some name talent. Some star power.
That's,
some panache.
Okay. All right, Here's where we'll agree. Yeah, they...
Like, I'm not waiting around for the... I'm not waiting around until June to wonder who the next Lamont Wade is.
Okay, fine, but
what
if...
And I don't think Giants fans know enough about Dansby Swanson to even think he's good, flashy enough. He might be good enough.
Okay, so you're a cash Giants fan. We're going to talk to Cam Inman on the other side, but we're obviously going to get back to this Giants stuff. Okay, you go into next season with no expectations, and 2 months into the season, dang, you're 35-20. Yeah, Swanson's got 21 dingers already. Let's go check out the Giants. Like that, I get it. That's not the way they want to do it, clearly, but I got to allow for that to happen. Don't you? You have to allow that it's possible.
You may not have a choice.
Okay. But that may be the way Farhan wants to put together a team.
Well, that's another conversation.
And we'll get back to that after Cam Inman on the other side. We're going to jump into some San Francisco football. The 49ers are clicking. That's what it seems to be right now. So we're going to talk to Cam Inman, 95.7 The Game's 49ers Odyssey insider. And then I think we're going to get back to this Giants talk and what they need to do this offseason to get their fan base back. And if you haven't heard, the Giants have put Aaron Judge in touch with Steph Curry's camp. So Steph Curry now charged with saving two organizations on 95.7 The Game.